broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Late last night, we established that there was some leakage in the capping stack
itself. Kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack.
I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest. I mean, if he's representing her ethically as an attorney, he should have followed it.
A lot of times our clients are heterosexual couples, about 40% actually, and they're most important.
You blew it!
Things are bad.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass and elsewhere, we go to find that said truth. Well, kind of an interesting kickoff to the week here. Boy, it's the middle of summer. It is the dog days of summer. It has been relatively cool here at the El Pacifico, but
yeah, I noticed that they're very much the bloom, or what do they call them? Moon bloom? Call it June bloom, man. Are you kidding? You've been a million times, man.
It's called June bloom. Why don't you get that?
Because, well, no, I know a June bloom, but for some reason I thought about a moon because you guys are talking about it.
The moon has to do with the tides, man. Our radio show is officially a coastal radio show, a beach radio show. The reason why we are coastal and beach is not to be trendy, not to be hippie. It's because we want to keep our eyes, we're looking along the coast. We're like the Coast Guard. We want to keep our eyes open for the Emini, as you like to say.
Right.
But June gloom is the fog that California, the coast here, are part of the state, folks. And everywhere across the country, there's different kinds of little weather features. You know, when I was in Atlanta, they had a certain kind of term they used for wintertime in Atlanta. And when I was in Minnesota, they had a certain kind of term they used for wintertime in Minnesota. You know, and
yeah, federal disaster.
Right, federal.
Will you shut up, man? Not federal disaster. It's a certain kind of.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Federal disaster.
Well, what do they call it in Atlanta?
I don't know, man. They had a term in Atlanta called Blackberry Winter or some jazz like that. It's pretty cornball.
Sounds pretty suspicious.
Yeah, okay, man, whatever. And here we have the really messed up kind of June gloom. All right, it's time here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to mention, by the way, our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show each and every night. If you were watching tonight, you would have seen me and Colleen Kristen Brewster going at it, and I, you know, pardon the expression, and David G. Hall, and you would have seen me along with my very special guest, Pastor William Rennick, as he went on and on and on about how he could cure Glenn Beck's blindness. And you can also see that video, again, on demand on our website. We have a 5-day video on demand library. We have an unlimited audio archive that goes back years and years and years. Many of those are becoming downloads even as we speak, so it's well worth it. PhilHendryShow.com, get a backstage pass. Where the hell is the story, man, that you were talking about, Jason? I thought I printed it off. I guess I didn't. There are 13 interesting facts about sex that have been published in Men's Fitness magazine. And, you know, I'm very suspicious of a men's magazine that asks about the ultimate orgasm. Now, here's why I am suspicious. There's a very famous scene in one of those Woody Allen movies where the girl says to him, "My doctor," you know, he's talking to this girl at a party, and she says, "I had an orgasm once, but my doctor told me it was the wrong kind." And he goes, "Really? Because even the worst one I've ever had was right on the money." And every man that heard that relates to it, because no man ever has anything other than the absolutely correct orgasm. And this is extremely uncomfortable to be talking about.
Well, why are you talking about it?
Because it's in this magazine story you gave me.
Oh. Well, a lot of guys want to know about an ultimate orgasm.
No, they don't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God, some chick wrote this article. Want the ultimate orgasm? Are you wondering which countries have the best lovers? We have the answers to this and more. So, in other words, Men's Fitness magazine, a magazine for men, went out of its way to find out which countries have the best lovers. And went out of its way to find out the ultimate orgasm for men. Men have already figured that one out for themselves. You know,
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Uh-huh. As much time as you spend working on it.
Shut up!
So, here we go. 46% of women would give up getting laid for 2 weeks rather than logging off of the internet for the same amount of time, according to a survey conducted by Intel. Now, that's some information that a guy can use. 46% of women would give up getting laid for 2 weeks. That's a very crude way of putting it.
What?
46% would give up getting laid.
Well, we're in safe harbor.
Oh, well, get a load of the FCC commissioner.
Yeah, Matt, when you learn that? I do reading.
We're in safe harbor. Well, I got news for you, Ace. No, we ain't. There's no such thing as safe harbor anywhere.
What are you talking about?
There's no such thing as safe harbor. I'm sorry, folks, we're getting technical here. I want to read this article. Why don't you just...
Well, what do you mean there's no safe harbor? The FCC say that the safe harbor.
The FCC got nothing to say about it. The FCC has... All the FCC does is exist to make radio stations nervous. The FCC exists to make radio companies nervous. The FCC exists so that radio companies will go out and hire lawyers to tell their air talent what not to say, even though they really don't know what it is they're supposed to say or not say.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, if you say... Getting laid in safe harbor, FCC can't touch you.
Doesn't make any difference what the FCC can do. Don't you understand? This is something the FCC doesn't understand. This is why you guys at the FCC, not only should you be sued, and not only should you be sued to the point where you are disassembled and found to be a unconstitutional body, the damage that you've done to this business, I don't know that we will ever really be able to quantify. Once your foul presence has finally been burned off the body politic of this country, we will set about the task of finding out just how much damage you've done. And it's in the billions of dollars, there's no question. The billions of dollars that you, the FCC, when you began to meddle in program content. Forget about whether or not it was the right frequency and how many watts of power, and now you guys are getting real interested in the internet. Isn't that nice? Baby's found a new toy. Oh, they're interested in the internet.
Man, you gotta watch it, man.
Why?
That's the FCC you're talking about.
I don't give a damn. What are they gonna do to me?
They can get you fired.
They already get guys fired. They already get guys fired. They don't even have to pick up a phone. They don't have to say anything to get guys fired. There's somewhere in this country tonight, some guy said, hey, Men's Fitness Magazine says that 46% of all women would rather give up getting laid for 2 weeks. Aha! Right there, somebody heard that. The station's general manager, the program director, getting laid. And they fired him. Okay?
But why? He's got safe harbor.
It doesn't matter because they fired that cat rather than get complaint phone calls from people and get maybe a letter from the FCC, which means they have to hire a lawyer and they might even have to suffer a boycott of advertisers. Do you think that they've got that kind of money or guts? No. They just fire the guy.
Yeah, but
you get safe harbor.
Man, it doesn't matter if you got safe harbor. That's what Phil's trying to say.
Why would he fire the guy if he got safe harbor?
Because those guys are scared of everything and everybody. Because those program directors and general managers, the whole broadcasting business is so frightened that they're not going to make their billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars this minute, that all they have ever done is fire people rather than challenge this FCC. Well, guess what it's gotten them? Absolutely nowhere. $1 a share. Their companies are going out of business. The content is soon going to be owned by the talent, not by the companies. The companies are going to come begging for content, man.
Oh, man, here he goes again.
Man, you're not going to give a speech now, are you, man?
About what are you... Oh.
You're going to go give a speech about an FCC and everything.
Hey, excuse me, can I just make a point here?
Yeah.
Who was the guy that brought up safe harbor?
Well, I mean, technically he did.
No, I'm not talking to you. Who was the guy that brought up safe harbor?
I did. But that was only about the one issue having to do on getting laid and everything. Not about your philosophies.
Oh, well, you know something, bud. If you're bringing up the FCC, you know where it's going to go, okay?
Yeah, well, I can hope at least one time that I bring up the FCC that you're not going to go off and have a cow about everything.
Yeah, you've got a point there.
I ain't having a cow, okay?
Yeah, every time I bring up FCC, you're going to go and you'll have your cow. Go ahead, Mr. Henry, go have your cow now.
Yeah, man. You got a point every time on a cow.
What are you guys talking about, have a cow?
Look at you right now, man.
Well, you belt you. Men's Fitness Magazine. 46% of women would give up getting laid rather than log off the internet, if you'll pardon the expression, for the same amount of time, according to the survey conducted by Intel. You want the ultimate orgasm? Bud?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Abstain from any sexual activity at all for 3 weeks. That's the amount of time it takes for your testosterone levels to peak and boost your libido, according to a study published in the World Journal of Bullcrap. Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to say, man, let's forget it.
Let's see. There are 500 to 1,000 deaths per year. Here you go. You want to know just how dumb this country is? There are 500 to 1,000 deaths per year from autoerotic asphyxiation.
What's that?
Hold on for a minute. That's equal to the number of murders in New York City each year. Autoerotic asphyxiation, as far as I can tell, is when these guys have orgasms, they also strangle themselves.
What you talk about?
Yeah, man, they do.
They do. They take a towel, and that's what they think happened to what's-his-name, that Carradine guy.
John?
John? John Carradine?
Yeah.
No, John Carradine, he's dead.
I know. From the auto asphyxiation.
Not John Carradine, is the grandfather. Who was the guy?
My name's Robert.
Yeah, Robert. Who was the guy?
I'll look it up. Steve.
Oh, it's David? Okay. A voice in my head just said David.
Yeah, that, I know who that is. Charles telling you about it, but he could have looked it up.
All right. Spain, Brazil, and Italy produce the best lovers, reports global research site OnePoll.com. Uh-huh. The worst, Germans, who women dubbed too smelly. Oh, this is horse dung. This is not even factual. This is based in a lot of old stereotypes. This poll is, it could have been like 40 years old. It probably is. Englishmen were too lazy, Swedes finished too quickly, and for the Yanks, they landed somewhere in the middle. Forgetting the shower after a romp, 36% of people under the age of 35 go right onto Facebook and Twitter after sex, so they stink to high heaven for weeks.
Oh, man. So they have sex, and then they go and have a dinner at a restaurant. People go, oh, I'll have the fish.
Oh, shut up.
That pumpkin to do.
All right, and then finally, the average American man's... I just find this, you know, call me old-fashioned, but I hope there's no kids listening. The average American man's erect penis is 5 to 7 inches long with a circumference of 4 to 6 inches, according to the Kinsey Institute.
Well, does that mean that I'm abnormal?
I don't want to hear about it, okay?
Yeah, man.
11% of guys say they use sex to relieve stress. 11? You help her get a good night's sleep. University of Pennsylvania researchers claim that women in stable relationships get better shut-eye than single women do. This is terrible. Terrible. These, you know, there's a reason why I don't read these surveys, not because I'm offended by them, but because they're not even new. I could have been reading the same thing 10 years ago. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Andrews Show, 877-876-PHIL, a new beverage of choice for tweeters and or for tweeners and teens, coffee. And maybe, hopefully, something more interesting than that, bud. Could you find it? 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Andrews Show.
It's the Phil Andrews Show. Phil Henry.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. So when you go over there after the show, you see that we put up our show log. You can see what the hell was going on and who got killed and who's still standing. Our show log right there on our news feed. And if you have a backstage pass, you can comment on the news feed. You can go over there and lay into anyone and anything. As a matter of fact, there are people on our news feed that are ripping me on a regular basis just because it feels good. So go over there, or that maybe that's just you, bud, with five different subscriptions, huh?
Maybe.
So go on over there and check out our archives. We are turning them into downloads as we speak. And our daily archive, which means that you can listen to this show tomorrow, download it onto your iPod, and plus coming soon, our iTunes podcasts as well as downloads. So it's all ahead here on our website, philhendryshow.com. Lindsay Lohan's so-called father, she's calling him her ex-father, and the story has more to be disgusted with than it has. It's really interesting, at least for me. And some people are so obvious, you know, that the fact they don't know it is amazing, isn't it? This guy, this father of Lindsay Lohan, this Michael Lohan. Now, here's a guy who has been a douchebag from way back, you know.
Yeah, seen that guy coming.
Well, but I mean, even what's his name? Michael Lohan Sr. Even though everybody in the world knows what a sack of crap you are, Lohan, you still are out there doing what? Nobody can figure out what you're talking about. Nobody knows what you're talking about, man. I care about my... You know, nobody believes you care about your daughter, so why don't you stop with the caring about your daughter? No one believes that at all. You're a megalomaniac. Okay? You, as far as anybody can tell, you aren't much of a father. This kid has got more problems. I don't know where the hell the mother is of this child. I guess she's around. But the fact is, you, man, you're just, everybody's tired of looking at you. Now, I know that there are these sad cases that want to stick your kisser on TV every now and again. Who's the latest? Who is the sad loser that, oh, TMZ.
Yeah.
Who are the very good reporters that, here is Michael Lohan, and he's the father of Lindsay, if you didn't know. He claims her attorney, Robert Shapiro, is only involved in the case to promote his sober living home. Now, I have to tell you that Lindsay Lohan checked into a place called Pickford Lofts, which is a rehab center that I guess is used by a lot of celebrities. It was founded by Robert Shapiro. And Mr. Shapiro today bowed out of, or I should say yesterday, technically, bowed out of representing Lindsay Lohan as her attorney. He had told her that she needed to go into rehab, that she needed to stay in rehab. Oh, I know what he told her. He told her that she needed to go into jail, that she needed to accept jail, and he would be happy to represent her. Now, I don't know, and I don't care, to be honest with you. But because Michael Lohan's got a problem with the guy, I figure Robert Shapiro's okay. Now, if this guy really cared about his daughter, he would be handling this stuff out front like this. He'd be handling it behind the scenes with common friends and with people who know. And he's really just he's tiring to look at. He's tiring to listen to. Troubled actress Lindsay Lohan has slammed her ex-father on Twitter from her rehab stay. She says the guy scares her. She's currently staying in a sober living facility ahead of beginning a 90-day jail term for breaching probation. She blasted her estranged father, Michael Lohan, for his comments on her life and has warned him to stay away from her. She said, I don't want my ex-father anywhere near me, no matter where I am. He's crazy and he scares me. Well, crazy, anybody that looks at that guy.
Yeah, tell by the way he looked through his face, he's crazy and a crap house rat.
Yeah.
Lindsay's comments came after Michael blasted her new lawyer, Robert Shapiro, over a conflict of interest. Michael believes the lawyer should do more to appeal the 24-year-old star's prison sentence instead of encouraging her to enter the facility, which he founded in memory of his son. Here is Michael Lohan.
I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest. I mean, if he's representing her ethically as an attorney, he should have filed an appeal. And personally, he went through the same thing I am with Lindsay as his son. I don't know why he put her in a sober house, because it really doesn't get off the prescription drugs, and that was the issue with his son. It's more like he's promoting his sober house than he is trying to defend Lindsay.
Why couldn't I hear anything in there? I don't know where he was, but obviously he was someplace where he could stand there and talk to TMZ. He's repeatedly claimed Lindsay is addicted to prescription drugs. He told E! News it's a conflict of interest if he's putting her in his own sober house but not doing anything for her legally. But when you have an attorney like Robert Shapiro, who went through so much with his own son and knows the effects of prescription medications, it doesn't make sense that he did nothing to appeal her case and get her off the meds before she goes to jail. So anyway, that's...
That ain't a story either.
Yeah, that's... We're 0 for 2 so far this hour. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
With four boys struggling in the Florida surf, including one of his sons, Little League baseball coach Darren McGahee was among the dads who swam out to save them. McGahee had jumped in with the boys flailing away in water over their heads. One of them was his son, Noah. The rescue became more difficult the further the older McGahee went out there. We thought we were going into 5 feet of deep water to pull the kids out, said Jay Morris, another coach and rescuer. No one thought much of it. However, McGahee's heroic action last Wednesday cost the 42-year-old Georgia man his life. In collecting the boys, he went missing in the subtle undertow off Navarre Beach, and he drowned. On Tuesday, members of the 12 and under Locust Grove Razorbacks dressed in uniform attended the man's funeral in the town where he lived. He was their assistant coach. Two other dads found Darren McGahee, pulled him to the beach barely conscious, and frantically administered CPR. Other parents did their best to shield Noah McGahee and half-brother Austin, who had tagged along on the Florida road trip. Family members remained in a state of shock over how something so well-intentioned as a baseball trip could turn out so numbing. McGahee left behind his wife of 12 years, Ann Hightower, and three sons, including Dustin McGahee. He devoted himself to coaching since he had quit playing, coaching as many as three teams at once. He had taught most of the Razorbacks how to play the game. His easy temperament contradicted the stereotype of the overly involved Little League dad. Said Jeff McGahee, fighting back tears, he never got mad. He didn't have a mean bone in his body. Stephanie Mallett, a self-described team mom, said her son Cole is a teammate and good friend of Noah McGahee's. Cole Mallett wasn't on the beach when his coach drowned, but the incident has left a deep scar. I don't mean any disrespect. I really don't. Honest to God, I don't. But I'm going to tell you something right now. And I don't have the particulars here. But I think that what I'm about to say is a generally, would be a generally accepted intelligent thing to say. Now, the word's got to get out there sooner or later. And every summer it's the same thing. And we can talk all we want, you know, about how tragic this, that, or something else. If you don't teach your kids to swim, teach them how to swim.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Yeah, I mean, don't most people know how to dog paddle?
No, most people apparently don't know how to dog paddle. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, you're not always going to swim.
What do you mean you're not always going to swim? You know what I said in the pre-show, and I mean this. Not teaching a kid how to swim, and I'm going to tell you something right now. These are Little League baseball players, 12 and under, which means essentially if you're a Little Leaguer, Little League, which means you're swinging at a pitched ball, not a tee ball, you're a 9, 10, 11-year-old kid. You ought to know how to swim, friend. By the time you're... To be perfectly honest with you, by the time you're 4 or 5 years of age, you should at least know how to move around in the water to keep yourself afloat. By the time you're 5, easy, easy.
5? You probably want to get them out in an Olympic or something.
No, I don't. No, I don't at all. I said in the pre-show, not teaching a kid how to swim is like saying, like not teaching somebody that water puts out fire, you know? And the guy says, well, what do you mean? Well, this is what puts out... I don't need to know what puts out fire. Do I look like an idiot or something? Well, just in case, you know, just in case. I'm not going to burn up. You think I want to burn up? No, I don't think you want to burn up. But you never know. I never know. Only idiots set themselves on fire, friend. Well, I can't disagree with that. But by the same token, maybe some other guy would set you on fire. What? What are you talking about? Only an idiot lets his house burn down. I don't need that. You know these cats that know how to put out fires. What am I, a Boy Scout or something? You know, this has been an attitude that's long time in this country that swimming is, well, you know, I don't have the time to teach the kid how to swim. Is that right? Well, maybe you'd like to drag the kid out like this poor man and these people. You'd like to drag a dead body out of the water. You know, it's your choice. Take your pick. Have a ball. I mean, I'm telling you, the people that don't know how to swim, it's embarrassing. Swim, man. It's like knowing how to walk.
You know, what do you think? Everybody's Aquaman or something?
Bud, you know what I'm... Do you know how to swim?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I jumped in the water one time and then swam.
Because you jumped in the water one time because you liked the water, so you swam because it was a recreation, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah.
All right. You guys think it's just a lot of fun, but it's something... If you don't know how to swim, you'll die, okay?
Yeah, well, how come somebody in the water if they don't know how to swim?
Well, ain't that an interesting question? How come someone's in the water if they don't know how to swim? But funny, it happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know, but...
You want to pass a law to keep people who don't know how to swim out of the water? Or do you want to just make sure everybody damn well knows how to swim? Which is it?
They ought to pass a law and...
Oh, get out of here. They ought to pass a law and...
Well, just in case.
No. This is... You know what? The entire problem with the human race, in a lot of ways, boils down to what we're talking about right now. It boils down to what we're talking about right now. There are people that would want to pass a law that says, well, people that don't know how to swim, it should be illegal for them to be in the water. There are people who would want to do that, you know? Because that's exactly what we do, don't we? If you don't know how to do this, that, something else, then you can't. We're afraid. You might. This, that. Okay? I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm amazed that people who drown in the ocean, who don't know how to swim, that there are not more lawsuits pressed by those individuals saying, I don't know how to swim, so why would you make the ocean so inviting by putting lifeguards there? I could assume, because I don't know how to swim, I got to be able to go into the water and be saved, right?
Yeah, but no, man. The lifeguard are there if you get caught, like, eat it up by a shark or something like that.
Yeah. Like, remember that one movie we seen the other day where all that was left was the girl's arm?
Jaws, yeah.
Yeah.
About what?
That's why the lifeguard's there.
The lifeguard's there if you get hit by a shark?
Yeah.
No, it ain't, man. The guy's there if you get in a serious situation, okay? But it's assumed, and rightfully so, that if your ass is at the beach and you go into the water, Jim, you know how to swim, man. Ain't you ever been in the ocean?
Yeah, I've been in the ocean. I swim in the ocean, okay? But sometimes people don't know how to swim in the ocean. And even though I know how to swim, then I'm...
If somebody doesn't know how to swim in the ocean, then what the hell are they doing in the ocean?
On account of they make it look inviting on the TV.
Oh, you're a jackball.
They do. And they gotta quit it. Because every time they put on a TV ad like, come on down to Florida, or I mean, I wouldn't go to Florida because I live in California, but...
Yeah, you got that right. But...
Well, you guys knock it off with the Florida stuff.
But, well, Florida's okay, but I just say come down and fish and eat and stuff like that. But I'm not going to do it, even though it looks great.
Why not?
Because I'm smarter than that. I know if I go down there, if I forget how to swim, which I wouldn't do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people at home can't see. You got a dead serious look in your face.
Yeah.
If you forget how to swim...
I'm just saying whatever may happen.
If you forget how to swim, though, and they have said to come down to the beach, right?
Wait a minute.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
No, of course I don't know what you're saying, because you're not saying anything that makes sense. If I forget how to swim, and on top of that, I've been lured to the beach because it looks so fantastic on TV, then I ought to be able to sue them for luring me down to the beach.
Well... It stands to reason that they make the TV look good, right?
They make everything look good on TV, man, because they want to sell it, okay?
Yeah, well, if they do that, then you go down there, and now you're in the water, and a shark has eaten you. Now what's your family going to say? He didn't know how to swim. A shark ate him, all on account of they made the beach look good.
No, man, no, no. If I was a judge, I'd throw that out.
Why? You haven't come up with no good reason.
But I've come up with a million good reasons. I would not hear, if I was the judge, I'd throw that out so fast, your head would spin.
Why? Give me one good reason.
Because it sucks, that's why. Because it's the stupidest lawsuit in the history of the world. And because of that, it'll probably be brought.
So you admit someone will do it?
Oh, yeah, sure someone will do it. I mean, that stands to reason someone's going to do it. The only thing we need to know is there a judge anywhere in this country with the brain power, the savvy, the appreciation of the world law and culture that we live in, that he would look at it, wipe with it, and then throw it away?
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
No judge is going to hear that case. I went to the beach. I took my brother. He doesn't know how to swim, but he insisted on going because it looked so good. Then he went into the water not knowing how to swim because it looked so good. He got eaten by a shark, and I'm suing the beach for making it look so good to my brother that he wanted to go. That will never, ever, ever get past the preliminary round.
Well, I just think it's worth fighting the right, you know, if it's constitutional.
But, you know, in life, man, make your battles, pick your battles is the old saying. You know that one?
Yeah.
Pick your battles. Don't go to war over something stupid. Don't go to war over something stupid, okay? In other words, don't be like 99% of the human race. Try to stand up for something that's worth it. I'm going to sue because my brother said it looked so good he got eaten by a shark.
All right. If you look at the movie Jaws, because the two of you just said you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
How come that little boy got ate? Because his mother said, let's go down the ocean today. It looks so damn good. The kid got ate.
You mean the little boy in the raft?
Yeah, the little boy in the raft, they went down.
Well, what are you telling me, man? He's supposed to sue the freaking beach?
Well, what about that sheriff? Let everybody go in. And she slapped his face and she said, Sheriff Brody, you let my boy go in, even though you knew that shark, Lord.
Yeah, and the other guy said, I'm not going to have the shark cut open and have that little Kintner boy spill out all over the dock. And then the one scene, he goes, my kids were on that beach, too. That's bitching.
That's great. Nice reading.
Thank you.
You know what? What are you doing now?
We're going to do Iron Swine.
Oh, come on, man.
No, we're going to do Iron Swine.
All right, Iron Swine next. What are you going to do?
Jaws.
Great. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next, Iron Swine in Jaws. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Iron Swine.
Phil Hendry.
Time for Iron Swine with the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. On this Iron Swine today, we're going to go and get Jaws.
Iron Swine is called down to where the Jaws was, and there's the sheriff.
Hey, Iron Swine, I got a shark.
I'm not going to have a little Kintner boy spill out on the dock.
Well, I got to cut it open and everything. Iron Swine, we can find out and look at the content of his stomach.
I'm not going to have...
Right there.
I'm not going to have a half-ass autopsy had a Kintner boy spill onto the dock.
Yeah. Those guys in that boat over there, they're going to die. Yeah.
Get out of the boat. Get out of the channel. Get out of the channel. It's the Iron Swine shark.
Yeah, a new kind of shark.
Iron Swine goes out. And the Iron Swine shark is coming at him. Wait a second. I got the best sound effect in the world. Hold on for a minute. Wait a minute. Stop. Okay, wait. I just want to do one thing.
What are you doing, bud?
I just got to get a sound effect.
Okay, come on, man.
Wait a minute.
You don't do it like that, man. When you do the thing, you got to keep going.
You just got to get one sound effect.
You guys should have had the sound effects ready before you do the bit. Wait a minute. I got to do something.
So Iron Swine is out on a boat. Here comes a shark, and he sticks a can of oxygen in its face, and then...
Here comes.
Yay! He blew it up.
This has been Iron Swine. That sucked.
Why?
You don't go, oh, wait a minute, man. I forgot. I got a sound effect I got to get.
Yeah, but that was bitching, though, wasn't it?
No, it sucked, man. It would have been better if you would have said, Iron Swine is paddling around out there. He sees the shark. He shoots it. Boom!
That's what I did do.
Yeah, after, oh, wait a minute. I got to get a sound effect. Unreal, man.
All right, well, anyway, I got a better one here for you on a BP story.
Yeah.
When you read a BP story, then you can have the guy say,
they should have put you in a glass jar.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yo, I'm Dan at Plainview.
Yeah, I get it, man. It's about the oil. Okay. BP's broken well. And by the way, the spokesman, he said to one of the reporters,
they should have put you in a glass jar.
BP's broken well was leaking oil and gas again Monday for the first time since the company capped it last week. But the Obama administration's spill chief said it was no cause for alarm. The stopper was left in place. When Obama spoke to reporters, he said,
if I travel all the way up there and I find that you've been lying to me.
In other news,
that, you don't beat him to death.
Don't tell me how to use drops. I know how to use them.
Yeah, you don't want to beat him to death, though.
Oh, get a load of you guys. Oh, don't you? Oh. You guys butchered up that Iron Swine six ways to sunset, and you're telling me how to use drops. I know how to use drops. Don't worry about it. And as Obama was walking out of the front door of the White House, Biden yelled after him,
bastard from a basket!
All right! Yes!
That was pretty funny.
That's funny! That's gold, man. That's gold, baby. All right, anyway. Ever since the cap was used to bottle up the oil last week, engineers have been watching underwater cameras and monitoring pressure and seismic readings to see whether the well would hold or spring a new leak. Perhaps one that could rupture the seafloor and make the disaster even worse. Small amounts of oil and gas started coming from the cap late Sunday. And everybody was standing around and everyone was yelling,
bastard from a basket!
To the guy that put that cap on. So, anyway, God bless you. I'm glad you guys worked the problem, man. You worked the problem, you worked the problem, huh? Ain't that what Gene Kranz said, that Apollo 13 guy?
That's right, man. That's what he said.
Work the problem, people. Let's not make it worse by guessing. That was the great Gene Kranz. He was the flight control guy on Apollo 13. And he said, we haven't lost anybody in space yet, and we ain't going to do it on this watch. And I want all of you guys to have your heads where they ought to be. And I don't want to, you know, have any problems here. And they brought those guys back. So they didn't guess. They said, work the problem, don't guess. Also, seepage from the seafloor was detected over the weekend. At an afternoon briefing in Washington, Allen said BP could keep the cap closed at least another 24 hours as long as the company remained alert for leaks. BP and the government had been at odds over the company's desire to simply leave the cap in place and employ it like a giant cork in a bottle until a relief well being drilled deep underground can be used to plug the well permanently. Allen initially said his preference was to pipe oil through the cap to tankers on the surface to reduce the slight chance that the buildup of pressure inside the well would cause a new blowout. That plan would require releasing millions more gallons of oil into the ocean for a few days during the transition, a spectacle BP apparently wants to avoid. So you understand what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, well, they don't want to have it blow up again.
They don't want it to blow up again, so... But they also don't want to release another few million gallons of oil into the ocean so that they can transition to piping this stuff to surface tankers. They have said, you know, the country has been watching oil released into the Gulf daily. This oil that, God knows, it is the lifeblood of the country. But when you see it just pouring into the Gulf of Mexico, it looks just like filth, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like sewage.
It looks like sewage. Exactly, Robert. God knows we need oil. And this is oil that we found near our own coasts. We're not fighting any war over it. Of course, we've got to fight with a company, you know, pulling it out of the ground. But I believe in giving people, acknowledging work well done. And I acknowledge that BP worked this problem, and so far, they've solved it. Should it have happened in the first place? Oh, that's a very good question. Some people would say no, because we never should have been drilling for oil in the first place. But those people, when they say that, those people know full well it's not feasible to have stopped drilling for oil. Not even close. Not even close. Not even close. They know full well it was not feasible to just shut the oil industry in the United States down because they didn't want to see any more drilling done off the coast and all those people losing their jobs, all that work, all that money, all of that. That sector of our economy just collapses because a handful of jackasses who don't really care about people decide we're going to shut the oil drilling industry in the United States down. So they would say that didn't have to happen. Well, they're wrong. Do mistakes happen? Yes, they do. Do you pay for your problem? Do you pay for your mistakes? Yes, you do. Is BP to blame? Yes, they are. And are they also to get credit for working this thing, like Gene Kranz said, working that problem and solving the problem?
They should have put you in a glass jar.
Yes, they are. So I say, BP, good on you, baby. Way to do it. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Charles Wygan, and our screener, Dan Northcraft. I'm Phil Hendry, just another.
If I travel all the way up.
Just another.
They should have put you in a.
Just another.
Bastard from a basket!
Phil Hendry.